DW Africa Link.
South Africa's criminal justice system is on trial, not in the courts, but before the nation itself. The newly launched Matlanga Commission of Inquiry has been tasked with uncovering the rot, criminality within the system, political interference that twists justice, and corruption that erodes public trust. The timing is no coincidence. Netflix Beauty and the Besta documentary has gripped the world, exposing chilling loopholes that allowed a convicted murderer to manipulate prisons, businesses, and even fake his own death. But the real story runs deeper, because Besta isn't just one man's crime spree. He's a symptom of a justice system cracking under pressure. Now, South Africa must ask, can the Matlanga Commission cut through decades of dysfunction and restore faith in the rule of law? Or will this be yet another investigation lost to the archives, while the powerful continue to bend justice to their will? That's what's coming up. Stay tuned. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from and on Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
South Africa has launched one of its most significant investigations in years, an inquiry into the very heart of its justice system. On September 17, the Matlanga Commission of Inquiry into Criminality, Political Interference, and Corruption began its work following explosive allegations by KwaZulu-Natal Police Commissioner Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi. He claims fellow officers and even members of parliament have obstructed justice and engaged in criminal acts. The commission could mark a turning point, a chance to confront corruption, restore credibility, ensure that no one is above the law. But will it deliver real accountability or fade into the long list of inquiries that promised much and changed little? And what lessons might other African nations draw from this process? Now, joining me for this discussion, which is an all-women's discussion, is DW South Africa correspondent Diane Hawker and Lizette Lancaster, head of the Justice and Violence Prevention Program at Crime Hub. So I'll start with you, Diane. You are our eyes and ears on the ground. Just to give us an overview of this investigation, the Matlanga Commission of Inquiry into Criminality, Political Interference and Corruption.
Well, yes, Josie, you know, the commission has quite a long and complicated name. Most of us here in South Africa have just started calling it the Matlanga Commission. Okay. And it has its origins in a Sunday night press conference that was held by the KwaZulu-Natal Provincial Commissioner of Police. Now, in South Africa, we've got 9 provinces, and in each province, there's a provincial commissioner who is the most senior police officer for that province. Mkhwanazi, in his press conference, he made damning allegations against members within the police force, as well as allegations that the judiciary was being co-opted, that the national prosecuting authority was also co-opted. And he said that there was generally a great concern that he had, along with other police officers that supported him, that there was a need to look into serious corruption. He's also alleged that the now suspended Minister of Police, Senzo Mkhunu, was also interfering in operational aspects of the police. And that is, I think, one of the most serious allegations that has been looked at so far. You know, the minister is meant to be the custodian of the police on the executive side of justice, but essentially is not supposed to interfere with the working operations of the police. And following that press conference, we then saw that minister of police suspended, someone else put in his place, and this commission of inquiry set up. So that kind of lays the ground of how we got here.
Mm. And it's still with you, Diane. What have been the key developments since the hearings began?
Well, we saw Commissioner Mkhwanazi, Provincial Commissioner Mkhwanazi, testifying last week for 3 days. And he laid out a few things. He substantiated why he had concerns about political interference, not only from the minister, but also he made allegations about two members of parliament. The main issue when it came to the former minister or the suspended minister Mkhulu was that there was a businessman who had contacted Mkhwanazi saying that he's close friends with this minister and that he had intimate knowledge of some of the investigations that were ongoing. One of the other key issues, and I think this is, I think, one of the main aspects, is also to do with the dismantlement of the political killing task team. So in South Africa, for a number of years now, we've had political killings, particularly in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. And a special task team was set up to deal with these killings. And that task team was suddenly disbanded by Mkhulu. Mkhwanazi alleges that that disbandment was unlawful. We've now this week also heard from the National Police Commissioner, and he also seems to be supporting the view that the disbandment was unlawful. But the National Commissioner, Fani Masemola, has also had some tough questions that he's had to answer, because the commission has asked him if he felt that this request or order to disband was unlawful, why did he act on it and why didn't he push back against the political head, essentially?
Right, right. Now, Lizette, to turn to you from the justice point of view, what is your assessment of the hearings so far? And were you surprised by the allegations made by the provincial commissioner? Why or why not?
The hearings has been long overdue. They are widely supported in South Africa, because for over two decades, we have been hearing stories of political interference, capturing of top leadership in the police as well as in the prosecuting authorities. So it has always come and gone with every administration. And in the meantime, the people have been suffering. We have seen rising violence levels, and we have seen less prosecution of these violent crimes. We have seen a growth in organized crime, and just this feeling that the government is not in control, but that organized crime is. So these hearings almost come as a welcome reprieve from these feelings of ineffectiveness of the criminal justice system. And General Mkhwanazi is hailed as a hero by many that have been watching him and supported him for quite a long time. As I pointed out, we've been seeing, you know, allegations of political interference since around the mid-2000s, with the closure of specialized units by the then National Police Commissioner in around between 2003 and 2006. Some of the allegations were that he closed the anti-corruption unit, for example, because friends were being investigated. So this has a long history, or is rooted in a long history of political interference. That very same National Police Commissioner was later convicted of corruption and was sentenced and imprisoned, but he was released because of health reasons and he later died. So General Mkhwanazi highlighted, and this is part of the shocking part of the hearings.
Right, right. Now, Lizette, the other question that I've seen awash on social media platforms, especially from South Africans, is why is Mkhwanazi speaking now? Why now? Why was he quiet all along? Do you also have the same questions or sentiments that probably something triggered this, or was there a reason that is clear why he had to speak now?
I think he felt compelled to speak now. I think for most part, since around 2019, 2020 when he was stationed in KwaZulu-Natal, first as the acting provincial commissioner and then later the permanent provincial commissioner. He was doing his job, and there was, and he made allegations against the previous Minister of Police, Bheki Cele, and clearly there was political interference, but he felt he could still do his job. What seems to have been different this year was that there kept on being persistent rumors that he, as well as National Police Commissioner Fani Mosamela, were going to be arrested for whatever reasons, we don't know. And that there seems to be this heightened tensions between them and the police minister. And this disbandment of the political task team has been called for by certain groupings, alleging that they employ torture, that they are also doing some political bidding on behalf of certain factions within the ruling party. So they haven't been, and he hasn't been without criticism. He's also known for his tough stance on criminal groups, using the tactical response groups within the police, the TRTs as they are known, to go after gangs and syndicates, and that often lead to shootouts where people are shot.
Right. And Diane, I don't know if you also have anything to add to that, but for the benefit of our listeners who might not know much about South Africa or about this commission of inquiry, who exactly is Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi?
Yes, I think, you know, what would be helpful to add is just a bit of context. You know, Lizette was speaking there quite a bit about the kind of environment that we operating in. And if we look at the crime kind of scene in South Africa over the last decade or so, we've seen some significant changes. South Africa is a country that has had a history of violent crime for quite some time. But what we have seen is organized crime really spiraling out of control. I recently did a story for DW News looking at extortion, which is one of the organized crimes that has really picked up in South Africa. And the extortion is such that even government construction sites, which is what I focus on in the story, are being extorted for what's being called protection fees. We're also seeing, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of political killings and, you know, other gang and drug-related crime across the country. Now, Nhlanhla Mkhwanazi has essentially got the mandate within the province of KwaZulu-Natal to tackle those crimes. And initially, the political killings task team fell under his ambit. Ultimately, their scope was broadened and some other cases were brought in from outside of that province. But I would say that he is a career policeman. He explained quite a lot about his work and what he's done over time. He's someone who's also previously acted as National Police Commissioner before being sent back to KwaZulu-Natal. And at the moment, I would say he is someone that is well-respected in the police force.
Right. And Diane, still with you, you know, the inquiry is coming at a time when the world is currently watching the trending Netflix documentary BUTN, The Bester. And for some people like us who are not South Africans, I mean, it's really giving us an understanding of some of the things that actually happen in the justice system in South Africa. And is this inquiry resonating with the public? What are South Africans saying?
It's funny that you mentioned BUTN, The Bester, because I actually watched it last night. And even as a journalist who's been covering court and crime in this country for years, there were moments watching that documentary when my jaw dropped at some of the missteps and mishaps that have taken place. I think South Africans want accountability. We've been watching a lot of things take place, such as the escape of Thabo Bester and the subsequent period when he was on the run and nobody seemed to know how to catch him. But we've also seen, a period of very blatant state capture take place in South Africa over several years. And I would say that what we're seeing with this Madlanga inquiry is in a continuation of what we saw under state capture, where high-ranking business people, along with their political associates, would try to use state resources to their benefit.
Right. And Lizette, we've just touched on Beauty and the Best. I'm sure this is a trending documentary. And, you know, just looking also at the systemic issues, let's talk about that, that are plaguing South Africa's criminal justice system right now. What reforms are necessary to restore integrity and functionality to the system?
We have actually put together quite a number of priorities for police reform over the past year. And there are some moves towards that. But what we are seeing is just how that state capture that Diane was speaking about hollowed out the criminal justice system since its initiation sort of just under 20 years ago. So what the key thing that is being highlighted here as we are going through some of these allegations where there are implicated police members, quite high-ranking police members that are being implicated by Mkhwanazi and by the National Police Commission already, is showing is that there's a what South Africa's National Development Plan of 2011 describes as a serial crisis of top leadership. So we have seen this hollowing out and poor appointments to the top leadership of the police because of loyalty rather than competency. So that, to us, is the main issue that needs to be addressed, and that we hope that this hearing will also put in the spotlight this need to really do a type of reassessment of the top leaders and to see of the police and even the prosecuting authority to make sure that those people are competent and capable and credible and has the levels of integrity required to take these organizations or to transform and reform these organizations.
Right. Now, Lizette, still with you, I mean, given that ordinary citizens suffer most when justice is compromised, do you yourself believe the commission can actually help rebuild this public trust? Can this commission, you know, realistically drive meaningful change?
I think it is really important for the public, and that's why this public display of this inquiry is so important, to see how things work, number one. We know trust, levels of trust at the moment is about 22% trust in the police, according to independent surveys. So the bar is super low, and it was never that high. It turned at about 49% in the beginning of the 2000s. When trust was being built and competent people were being brought into the police and we started to see successes. But we sit with this deficit because the police has had a history in apartheid as being such an abusive force that was there as a political tool for the apartheid regime to oppress people. So it's never really cleared itself of that. So I think even though this might lead to further distrust because it is that the rot is being exposed so dramatically, I do think that if some of these recommendations are being implemented and there's real political will to make a change, and I have no reason to believe that the country has no choice at the moment. The president doesn't have the choice. The acting police commissioner doesn't, a minister doesn't have a choice. And if we are seeing, and people like General Mkhwanazi comes out of this as the hero he seems to be, also untainted by any counter-allegations, I think we can see a turnaround.
And Diane, how long is this commission expected to sit, and which other high profile figures are likely to appear?
Initially, when the commission was announced, they were given 3 months to deliver the interim report and 6 months to deliver a final report. But with logistical issues, looking for a venue, trying to set up the infrastructure, they've already eaten into quite a bit of that time. So I would imagine that they would need to request an extension from the president, who is the person who set the terms of reference. When it comes to other figures that we are expecting to see, I would imagine that we would have to see the people who the allegations have been made against. That would include the former minister, Senzo Mkhunu, another high-ranking police director, Shadrach Sibiya. There's been a number of allegations against him, allegedly having quite close ties to members of the criminal underworld. And we might even see the very president, Cyril Ramaphosa, who set up the commission, called to testify, because one of the things that has come out is that Fani Masemola, the national commissioner, mentioned yesterday that he took his concerns to President Ramaphosa about this task team being disbanded. And according to him, he didn't hear anything from the president. And the commission would have to ask, you know, if you have these concerns coming from your national commissioner and it relates to the minister that you appointed, what did you do? You know, that is definitely a question that stands before our president.
Right. Now, Lizette, I'm just reading something now as we're having this discussion. Masemola has just said, Kunu told me, and I quote, Ramaphosa agreed with political killings task team disbandment. What does this mean exactly as we wrap up our discussion?
It's quite a layered agreement that the political killings task team, or the recommendation was there that it should be disbanded. Masemola's big point was also, it's not just about its disbandment, but that it was said to need to be done immediately. And as I pointed out before, one of the biggest allegations against the political killings task team was that there were rising critics feeling that they are doing certain people's or certain factions' bidding, or that they use torture. And we are not sure, and this is what we hope that this inquiry will do, is based on what evidence or what information the minister, and now in agreement with the president, it seems, felt that this task team should be disbanded the way it did.
In a few seconds, Lizette, just as we conclude, what are your expectations once the inquiry concludes?
Well, our guess is, it's a guess at this stage. It will depend on the political will. But what I can say is that this inquiry, unlike others, have investigative powers. So we do believe that there are also better bodies to deal with this. Many have been, like the IDAC, the Independent Priority Crime sort of investigative directorate, have been, there are many bodies. I don't want to throw acronyms in the short time, but that have been established and strengthened since the days of the other commissions. So we hope that there will be some rot cut out of the police, and that we will have a police minister that is above, that has integrity, and a president that will take accountability for some of these oversights through the years.
DW South Africa correspondent Diane Hawker and Lizette Lankasa, head of the Justice and Violence Prevention Program at Crime Hub, many thanks for joining us.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Now, as you've heard for yourselves about the South Africa's new Mahlaga Commission of Inquiry, which is digging into corruption, political interference and criminality within its justice system, sparked by explosive allegations from Police Commissioner Nhlanhla Mukhwanazi, the stakes go beyond South Africa. Across the region, many justice systems struggle with similar pressures. Now, the question is whether this inquiry can set a precedent for accountability or if it will just echo the failures seen elsewhere in Africa. Well, we leave it at that for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a crucial part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Don't forget that you can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify and Apple or wherever you listen to your podcasts from. This episode was co-produced and edited by Isaac Kelechi. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
Minds.